WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of our special series on the Newport Music Festival. And Pamela, I want to be, probably not the first, but I want to be one of the ones to wish you Happy Mother's Day.
Aren't you sweet? Thank you so much. And Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers out there.
It's that time of year. Spring is in the air, and mothers have been taken out to dinner, and now they're sitting down listening to your program.
Our program. So this week is a very exciting one. The brochures, the Newport Music Festival 50th anniversary brochures, are on their way. They're in the mail, so they should be arriving this week.
Wow. I feel like Steve Martin in that movie, The Jerk. The phone books are here. The phone books are here. The brochures are coming. The brochures are coming.
Exactly. So everyone, please look at your brochures this week. And if you do not have one, you can go online to newportmusic.org and download one from the website. It's listed right there under 2018 season brochures. And it's a PDF, so you can download it, print it out at home, and look at it at home.
Great. All right. And what do we have for music for tonight?
So this evening, Mike, we are going to be delving appropriately into the Wednesday, July 18th concert, Rossini and More, which will be performed at the Breakers at 8 p.m. This concert is being generously sponsored by the Prince Charitable Trusts, and we are ever grateful for their continued support of the Newport Music Festival. So why this is so appropriate is that this concert is an homage to the very first concert of the Newport Music Festival in 1969. Mm. Now, if you think about it, if one was going to have an inaugural concert for a music festival that at the time represented many performing arts, including dance, film, and theater, that's what they did in those original years.
Sure.
Would you naturally gravitate towards Rossini? And I think if I asked most people, they would say, well, the opening concert should have the brilliance of Mozart or the romanticism of Schubert or Beethoven or Mahler or Schumann or Strauss, or even perhaps the elegance of Fauré, Berlioz, Ravel, Debussy, or any of the other French composers. And yet, the Newport Music Festival decided to present an evening at Maestro Rossini's.
Hmm.
So, you know, I was pondering why this choice. So now that I've done a year's work of research on the festival, it actually makes perfect sense. So the first element of this is that Glenn Sauls, the first general director, came from the Metropolitan Opera. So naturally, he was most familiar with vocal repertoire. Secondly, the festival was looking to do smaller scale performances than an operatic Verdi or Wagner or Puccini. So additionally, Rossini wrote lots of lighter, enjoyable pieces that make sense in the mansions of Newport, which is where the festival primarily played.
Instead of huge stage productions.
Right? So here we are. We're getting closer and closer. And the period of the Gilded Age, when the mansions were built, actually has an overlap with Rossini's time. Lastly, and maybe most importantly, if you wanted to have a fun summer concert that people would talk about and where they'd immediately want to return, which composer would you pick?
Hmm.
So I think this combination, you know, leads us to Rossini. So we're celebrating the life of a composer who not only wrote a lot of fun music, but who himself also had a really good time. Rossini lived from 1792 to 1868, which was a very long life for someone of this period, and especially a composer. He was born in Pesaro in Italy and composed his first opera at the age of 13.
Early starter.
Again, so many of these composers were child prodigies. By 21, he was famous, and he had established his own style of writing that was stunning, enjoyable, a little predictable, which people like, and called bel canto, meaning beautiful singing. So we're actually going to begin this concert with three piano pieces composed in the last years of Rossini's life, entitled Péché de vieillesse, Sins of Old Age. He entitled them that himself.
Hmm.
So Rossini was a prolific composer, and there are 14 volumes of these little gems. They were intended to be performed in private homes or salon, and they're mostly piano pieces, but sometimes they have a voice or other chamber ensembles playing. So what is really interesting about these pieces is it feels like Rossini was liberated. He no longer had to compose another successful opera and live up to his reputation. So he writes all these little pieces in different styles. He sometimes imitates Beethoven or Chopin, and sometimes they're quite serious and composed with a very academic structure in mind. So they also demonstrate that he himself was an outstanding pianist, and Franz Liszt, right, the great virtuoso pianist, even admired him. So the Péchés de Vieillesse, these sins of old age, have been played many times during the last 49 seasons. So we decided that they were a perfect start for this program. So we're going to hear three little pieces this evening that will be played on July 18th. They are Une caresse à ma femme, Petit valse de boudoir, and Petit caprice, style Offenbach. So with Une caresse à ma femme, Rossini offers an endearment to his wife, Olympe, who had been a close companion since 1830. She really took care of Rossini during his whole life, even when he was quite ill, and so it's a tribute to her. The second piece, the Valse de Boudoir, is really intimate and touching, and you can imagine a couple having a little dance in the privacy of their own bedroom. And the Petit Caprice can be seen both as a compliment and a little jab to Rossini's contemporary, Jacques Offenbach, who was also having an incredible success in Paris at the same time. While Rossini doesn't exactly quote the can-can, he kind of plays with Offenbach's music a little bit. So for Rossini to have quoted Offenbach is sort of a backhanded compliment. So we're going to listen to Stefan Ermer play Une caresse à ma femme, Petit valse de boudoir, and Petit caprice, style Offenbach, by Rossini.
We will listen to those three pieces and then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome back to our presentation of the Newport Music Festival. And the music we're playing tonight is going to be airing on July, not airing, going to be performed on July 18th.
Yes.
And Pamela, I know that you mentioned the new brochures are out with all the information. They can go online and get those. So that's a good thing. Go online, check it out, and don't be closed out of any of the events that are coming up.
Absolutely.
A lot of great ones.
Absolutely. So the website, again, is newportmusic.org. So since this evening is called Opera and More, we should talk about Rossini's operas. He was finding his way, and while he was having tremendous successes early in his career, you can actually hear him developmentally building his own style. His first big pieces, Tancredi and L'Italiana in Algeri, were composed, and then he composes Il Turco in Italia. So I always think this is quite funny. So we go from the titles The Italian Girl in Algiers to The Turk in Italy.
Switching places.
Exactly. So Rossini was a smart man, and once he realized he had a formula that was working, he stuck to it. So let's put his style a little bit in perspective. His Turco in Italia was performed in 1814, that was the premiere, in Milan, in the same theater as Mozart's Così fan tutte had just been performed. So here Rossini clearly has one foot, you know, still stuck in the classical genre in terms of themes that he was commonly using, his structure, his tonality, and yet he breaks away from, you know, the holy grail of Mozart and classicism to develop the bel canto. So, you know, this is, he's a genius that was truly underestimated. He's a remarkable composer. So in our festival concert, we will be performing the soprano's aria from Il Turco in Italia, Fiorilla's Non si dà follia maggiore. But I thought for this evening, we would just jump forward just 2 years from 1814 to 1816 and talk about Rossini's most famous opera, The Barber of Seville. So a little bit of Newport Music Festival trivia. The Barber of Seville was performed in its entirety with full orchestra, costumes, and props in the opening season, 1969, at Rogers High School. So Barber is one of the most performed operas in the world. And why? Because the music is beautiful, the story's funny, and there are showstoppers throughout the piece. Just so people know, the premiere was a disaster. The audience booed and hissed, and there were onstage accidents. And one of Rossini's rivals, Giovanni Paisello, had already composed A Barber of Seville, so the mob kind of broke out. But after the second performance, people calmed down, and it became, of course, a huge success. So at our Rossini concert, we are presenting several excerpts from Barber. One is the famous tenor aria Ecco Ridente, and then the mezzo's Una Voce Poco Fa, and the trio Ah, Qual Colpo Inaspettato. So let's hear the great Teresa Berganza sing Una Voce Poco Fa, in which Rosina sings of a voice that she recently heard that entered her soul. The man she believes to be Lindoro, a poor man, is actually the Count Almaviva. Teresa Berganza and Una Voce Poco Fa. This next excerpt from The Barber of Seville, the Count Almaviva has demonstrated to Rosina that he is indeed the man whom she had fallen in love with, the Lindoro. So what's very funny in this trio is the Count is swooning, as tenors tend to do. Rosina is absolutely delighted with the situation, and the baritone, Figaro, keeps patting himself on the back. He's so proud of himself, and he takes credit for having arranged this entire situation. So they go back and forth. In the middle of the scene, Rosina and the Count are professing their love, and you'll hear the music becomes more ornate and more ornate. However, Figaro sees people coming and wants to use this occasion to have them all escape because they're not supposed to be in Rosina's bedroom. So you'll hear the frustration of Figaro while the other two simply keep singing together. By the end, they realize they really need to depart, and they go into the famous zitti zitti piano piano, meaning shh, shh, quiet, quiet. And just listening to it, you can envision the scene until they all escape. So let's listen to the Act II duet from Barbiere di Sevilla with Teresa Berganza, Ugo Benelli, and Manuel Ausensi, conducted by Silvio Varviso.
We will listen to that and then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you. Guarda, guarda il mio tempo, che bel colpo seppe far.
Qual trionfo, qual trionfo inaspettato, me felice, o bel momento,
senza fiato, senza fiato, ora muoio mal contento, mal contento. Guarda, 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 guarda il mio talento, guarda, guarda il mio talento, che bel colpo se deve far.
Io t'attende già,
il nome sì. Di sposa, a che gioia il mondo.
Sei contenta,
oh mio Signore, oh mio Signore.
Piano, 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 piano
Welcome back. I'm Mike Maino, sitting with Pamela Pantos, the executive director of the Newport Music Festival, and having a very enjoyable evening, as usual, finding out about the event that's going to take place on July 18th. And all of the events you can check out now online by going to newportmusic.org. Don't be left out.
Oh, thank you. So after Barbiere di Sevilla, in 1817, Rossini wrote Cenerentola, Cinderella. But for a long time, it was not presented in the repertoire. The reason being that singers were no longer being trained in bel canto because it fell out of favor. The big Verdi and Verismo pieces took over. However, with the interest of singers like Joan Sutherland, Luciano Pavarotti, Marilyn Horne, Francisco Araiza, Teresa Berganza, and Maria Callas, bel canto had a huge comeback. And now we have specialists like Joyce DiDonato, Juan Diego Flores, Lawrence Brownlee, Diana Demereaux, etc. Cenerentola is actually much harder to sing than Barbiere, and I know because I sang them both, because it is so exposed. And Rossini demands more from the tenor and the soprano. This summer, in our Rossini and More concert, we will feature the tenor aria Si ritrovararla and the rondo from Cinderella, Non più mesta. So let's listen to Francisco Araiza sing this glorious aria, I Will Find Her Again, sung by the prince.
Thank you. speranza freddo di more dentro al mio cuore sta a pugnar.
Concert also includes a very special aria from Il Viaggio a Reims, The Journey to Reims, which was reconstructed. It was lost from 1825 to the 1970s, when pieces of it were rediscovered and Janet Johnson, the musicologist, put it back together. Shortly thereafter, the Newport Music Festival, with its love for Rossini, did a complete performance of this very difficult piece. So again, here's a Rossini connection. The aria that we're performing this summer is for solo harp and soprano, and it is highly unusual that a composer like Rossini, who so loved the orchestra, would create something, but again, it shows his incredible genius. So our listeners will have to come to the Breakers on July 18th to hear that piece, as well as two very fun selections, the Cat Duet, and the William Tell Overture for two pianos, eight hands.
Mm-hmm.
But we wanted to go out with a high note, pardon the pun. So we are going to listen to Friederike von Stade, who will be singing at the festival this summer on Saturday, July 7th. And there are literally just a few seats left for that concert. So if you want to hear her, please go to newportmusic.org. Thank you again to the Prince Charitable Trusts for their incredible support of this program and their continued generosity to the festival. This last recording is from the bicentenary celebration of the Metropolitan Opera. So, as we said, Friederike von Stade sings Cenerentola, and the two nasty sisters, Tisby and Clorinda, are sung by the great Deborah Voigt and Marilyn Horne. So this is truly a recording to be treasured. Thank you so much.
Enjoy listening, and we'll see you next week on the Newport Music Festival Special Series.
dirigiti il ciglio, perché tremar, perché tremar? Perché? A questo sei,
thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.